The reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
Thank you, and please be seated. So, for the past 5 weeks, we've been on a journey. We've been traveling through the summer days, these lovely, restful summer days, singing a song of faith, and it's been Psalm 23. As we've been journeying through the month, we've been following, of course, our Good Shepherd, and he's led us here each Sunday to refreshing, restorative, and restful places. We've sung our song of faith as we've traveled through, well, like sort of shadowy mountain paths where we've had to confront our fears. And David's song lyrics of this ancient psalm, they've reminded us that we're accepted, we're loved, we're cared for, and we're anointed. And wasn't that a lovely service, if you were here last week, where we anointed people with oil and prayed for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be on people's lives? A lovely, lovely service. We've discovered that no matter what happens, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with us and for us. Well, today, final Sunday of the Sunday series, we're turning a corner. We're homeward bound. Verse 6, we're traveling to the fields, the barns, the shelters of the owner's home. And the Good Shepherd is there, waving, welcoming, smiling to us. Haere mai, no mai, haere mai, he's saying. And so we sing this final verse of Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as Eugene Peterson puts it so well, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. Or, as a very famous poet, Francis Thompson, put it, Christ is, well, he's like a sheepdog. He's the hound of heaven. Let's watch this video clip for a moment.
Oscar Wilde had a great admiration for Francis Thompson's poetry, and he thought that Thompson could do it so much better than he could.
The great Christian poets have a rare and precious gift. They can present the world and the gospel to us in ways that we've never seen it before.
Thompson, throughout his life, was going to be an outsider.
Thompson was living on the streets. He was a complete derelict. He couldn't deal with just normal daily things.
He saw the modern hell of London.
Opium, I think, was tremendously popular in the 19th century, partly because it was one of the few medicines they had then that actually worked. They embraced it enormously.
If his body was deprived of the opium to which it was addicted, it might actually hasten his death. Left him a shell of a man, emotionally and physically and mentally.
Francis Thompson was welcomed here when he was in difficulty, having problems in his life, and while here he wrote the poem, The Hand of Heaven.
Francis began to find himself spontaneously breaking into song. His poetry began to pour out onto the pages.
I think if you look at the great stories that have ever been told, they're always stories that come out of brokenness and pain.
The Hound of Heaven is also a universal story because it tells of a loving God in heaven who pursues each one of us and does not forsake us, even the most wayward soul.
I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years.
So this final verse 6, the final verse of our song of faith, it speaks to us of a very active and mobile God who pursues us, who follows us, who seeks us out like two faithful sheepdogs. And I'd like to call them goodness and mercy. I think we've got look, that must be goodness. Mercy is obviously out chasing someone at the moment. Do you know, we're so much accustomed to a God who sort of sits enthroned, he rules, he ordains. Well, that's absolutely true. He does. But David in the song of faith tells us that God comes to seek. He's active. He's mobile. He's pursuing. He's seeking and he's saving the lost. But it's absolutely true throughout the whole biblical narrative. Just think for a moment of Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. They look over their shoulder. They hear a voice. It's God. Where are you? God had followed them, even in their sin and rebellion. Let's jump to Moses, a fugitive from Egypt. On the run, he looks over his shoulder. He sees the burning bush. God had followed Moses, even into the wilderness. In the New Testament, the disciples, in a storm, in a boat, on a lake, frightened, cold, wet, and lost. They look over their shoulders. Here comes Jesus walking on the water towards them. God had followed them even into the storm. The Samaritan woman, a very hot, dry day. She looks over her shoulder. And there he is. There's Jesus. God had followed her, even through her broken relationships and pain. The Apostle John, banished to Patmos, in lonely exile, on his own, he looks over his shoulder and he hears a voice. God had followed him into his loneliness and his exile. Lazarus, dead in a tomb, 3 days in a sealed tomb. He hears a voice calling his name. He lifts his bandaged head. He looks over his shoulder, and there is the resurrection and the life. God had followed him even into the grave and into death. And then, dear Peter, denies his Lord 3 times, fails God completely, goes back fishing, has had enough. He's in the boat early in the morning. He hears his name being called from the shore. He looks over his shoulder, and there's Jesus waving and beckoning. Peter, come and have breakfast. God had followed Peter, even in spite of all his failings. This morning, you may be here after a week of life and relationships, work, family, study, and maybe you relate to some of those people. Maybe you felt a little bit of pain, be it physically in your body or relationally. Maybe you've been treated unjustly. Maybe you've been let down by a friend or found yourself in a frustrating situation. Or maybe like Peter, you're here today and you feel as though you've just failed God. You've just completely blown it. Well, be encouraged, because your Savior, the Good Shepherd, is on your case. He's coming for you, seeking and saving you. And what's he coming with? He's coming with not judgment, not coming to beat you up. He's coming with goodness and mercy to wrap his loving arms around us. Through all our suffering, through all our trials, through all our tribulations of life, day by day, week by week, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does not forget any of us. He comes like the hound of heaven that Thompson wrote about. What do we have to do? Just stop and look over your shoulder. Let's move on to Alfred Noble. Now, this is another spin on goodness and mercy following us. I'm going to use Alfred Noble as an example. Alfred Noble, you may know, he lived between 1833 and 1896, best known for establishing the Nobel Peace Prize. Less well known is this guy, Alfred, also invented dynamite. As well as being a chemist, an engineer, and an innovator, he was one of the earliest weapons manufacturers. Now, in 1888, Alfred's brother, Ludwig, unfortunately died. And a French newspaper made a dreadful, dreadful error. They thought Alfred had died, and so they published his obituary in the paper. The obituary, an article, absolutely condemned Alfred for his invention of dynamite. And I quote, and these are the words from that French newspaper, "The merchant of death is dead. Dr. Alfred Noble, who became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before, died yesterday." Fancy reading that at breakfast, choking on your toast. My goodness. Alfred Noble did read the obituary, and he was, of course, devastated by this foretaste of how he would be remembered. And it was because of this, he went to his lawyer and changed his will and last testament. In his new will, Alfred set aside the bulk of his estate and established the Nobel Peace Prizes. That's how it came about. And he gave the equivalent of over $500 million to fund peace prizes. Now, Alfred Noble, he had the rare opportunity to sit down and evaluate his life. And then he lived long enough to change that evaluation. So instead of being remembered as Dr. Death, he's remembered as a peacemaker, goodness and mercy. We remember him. And those became his legacy. So what is our legacy? What is your legacy, my legacy? What are we leaving behind us as we journey through this life, journey through today and tomorrow and this week and the coming year of 2020? What are we leaving behind us each day? Will I leave behind me peace or turmoil? Will I leave behind me forgiveness and grace or bitterness? Will I leave behind me contentment? Or will I leave a trail of conflict? Flowers of joy? Or just frustration? Will I leave behind me a pathway of love when people think of me? Or rancor or mistrust? It's a challenge for us all. Are we leaving behind us? Is goodness and mercy following us each day? Let's pray for God's help that those things will be our legacy. Let's move on. I've got this lovely photo. I think it's fantastic. Isn't that a tremendous photo? She must live in Texas or something like that. It's Corin. It's Corin. Is it? Corin. Bless you, Corin. Wonderful. Do you know, I love the way we celebrate birthdays each week here. I just love it. I'm looking forward to receiving my birthday chocolate and prayer this year in 2020. It's my 64th year. 64 this year. And once, as some of you will know, is when you start getting, you know, to this age, that age, you start to think about the aging process. And the aging process starts affecting you. Just the other day, I dropped something, and I bent down to pick it up. And while I was down there, I thought, I couldn't quite remember why I'd bent down. You ever had that feeling? No. And then just yesterday, I was walking along, I noticed my shoelace was under it, so I bent down to tie it up, and I thought, what else could I do while I'm down here? Oh dear, indeed. Aging is not much fun. And we do try to avoid it. We live in a culture that avoids aging at all costs. We paint the body, we preserve the body, we protect the body. Hey, and so we should. Our bodies are God's gifts to us, and we need to look after them. But as well as being responsible, we do need to live in reality. We need to be realistic. For the Christian believer, we know and we accept and understand that our bodies must die. Why must they die? Well, so the new body can live. Hallelujah. Paul tells us this in Corinthians. Flesh and blood cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. Something that will ruin cannot have a part in something that never ruins. The kingdom of God will never ruin, but our bodies do, and they must. In other words, our decaying mortal bodies, they will be changed. Our bodies will become like a body that Jesus' glorious resurrected body was, is. That's our promise, the inheritance. But aging still is not fun, is it, while we're here in this present reality? I can relate more and more to Dave Barry's description of aging. He said this, dental problems, intestinal malfunctions, muscle deterioration, emotional instability, memory lapses, hearing and vision loss, impotence, seizures, prostate problems, coronary failure, death, and of course, painful hemorrhoidal swelling. So all you young people out there, guess what you've got to look forward to? Oh my goodness. But seriously, I wonder again if just over the past few days or even today you're feeling, I don't know, just slightly troubled or maybe feeling a bit distressed or you've felt agitated for whatever reason. Maybe it is physically, maybe it's relationally, maybe it's spiritually. Well, Jesus said this in the gospel reading that we had. Wonderful, wonderful words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He was referring in these verses to the fragility and the brevity of life. Jesus knew about this. Now, he originally said these words to his disciples. The context was he was on the way to the cross and he was explaining to him that his life on earth was coming to an end. He knew that and that he was going back to his Father. Yet, in this situation, which is, I find, incredibly courageous, he was able to say to the disciples, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be distressed. Don't be agitated. Because I'm not going to leave you alone, he says, as you grow older. But rather, as you grow older, I'm going to pass on to you the legacy I have won on the cross. My resurrection power, my life, my Holy Spirit, the promise of eternal life. And so he says to us, so you can sing with absolute confidence, a wonderful song of faith, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so just very brief points from the gospel reading. So the first thing is this. No matter how old you are, who you are, how you're feeling, Jesus has good plans for your future. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's house, he said. I'm on my way and I'm going to get your room ready. Verse 2. And so that's the first thing. In Christ, you can know that your long-term future is totally secure. Second thing, Jesus is coming back for you. He's coming back for me. The wonderful good news of the Christian hope is this earthly life is not the end. How do we know? Because of Jesus' wonderful promises in verse 3. He says this, I will come back and I'll take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. And what a wonderful way to finish our journey through Psalm 23 during these summer days. With a wonderful promise that one day all Christian believers, every one of us, will be with Jesus. That's a hope of Psalm 23. We'll be in the Father's house and dwell in his house forever. Well, I've loved Psalm 23 in the summer days, traveling through January on Sundays. And we've come to the end of our journey. As I said at the beginning, we've arrived back to the pastures, the shelters, and the barns of our Father's house. And there he is. Here he is. He's welcoming us. He's waiting for us. And he has prepared for us a wonderful meal this morning to refresh us and renew us as we pause and journey on. Spiritual food of sustenance. And so here at this communion, we once more, we rest in the pastures of Christ's finished work on the cross. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do except come and receive. Freely, freely we receive. We rest, receive, and remember that we have access to his resurrection power and a call to live it. Would you please stand now? And we're going to pray together as we stand together. Let's just open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit. Coming before our loving Father, even with sirens going on in the background of our broken and fallen world, we're in this place, this safe place of the Father's love. And we echo those words in our hearts. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Maybe just open your arms, your hearts, your to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit's love, Lord. Write assurance on hearts now of your love and goodness and mercy, the assurance of forgiveness, the assurance of eternal life, the assurance of a room in heaven that you have prepared. And I pray, bring freedom now to those who are feeling troubled, those who are feeling fragile, those who are feeling distressed. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your anointing. And words from Psalm 16. My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in Christ we can all look forward to a resurrected body and an eternity in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen.